For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengatang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws and monkey sounds in there and call it good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Hey, welcome in. Happy Thursday. Thursday's a great day of the week.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. Totally is. It's a light at the end of the tunnel. It's a light at the end of the tunnel with day for me.
I'll allow it.
You know, you see the weekend is on the horizon, especially this Thursday, because, folks, we've got two more sleeps.
Foosball's back.
Two more sleeps until foosball that matters is back. We got football that matters coming back to us. We've got a slate on Thursday that starts at 9 a.m. and it doesn't stop until about midnight, baby.
I'm in.
Midnight.
You mean Saturday?
What did I say?
Thursday.
Gosh.
That's today.
Thursday, you got preseason football.
Yeah.
Saturday, 9 a.m., Florida State, Georgia Tech from Dublin, Ireland.
There you go.
You've got Montana State at New Mexico at 1 o'clock on FS1. I should never want to watch that game. Guess who's going to watch it? He's got two thumbs. He's pointing right at myself. It's me. 5 o'clock, CBS Sports, SMU, Nevada. I'm a sicko. I'll watch that. And then we have breaking news.
Right now.
From the news desk. Delaware State, within the hour, has arrived in Hawaii.
Ladies and gentlemen, they made it.
The Delaware State Hornets have arrived in Honolulu. Remember, this is the team that missed, or their bus never arrived from Delaware to JFK, so they missed their flight to Hawaii.
Just a minor flight. It's the 10.5-hour one.
On Tuesday.
Yeesh.
They finally got there.
It's tough.
An hour ago, they got to Honolulu.
Whatever the line is, take Hawaii and the under.
Hawaii minus 40.
Take Hawaii and the under.
The over-under is at 56.5. Oh, hold on. Hawaii minus 40, and the line is 56.5.
Oof.
I don't think it's going to be a good year for the Hornets. I'm just throwing that one out there. I don't think
tough.
That this one is going to be. I mean, this isn't Timmy Chang. Well, it actually is Timmy Chang's Hawaii.
Is, yeah.
He is the coach of Hawaii. So it is Timmy Chang's Hawaii. But it's not a Timmy Chang quarterbacking Hawaii Warriors team.
No.
Yeah. You can get in the door for as low as $14.
God, in Hawaii, that's cheap.
Well, and I think it's a tiny stadium. Think of that. Supply and demand. I believe it's like a 15,000-seat stadium they're playing, and you can get in the door for $14.
They're not
bucks.
Playing in the standard stadium anymore, are they? Wasn't that place so old that it was like decrepit?
Yeah, they condemned it.
Yeah.
And they tore it down, so they have a temporary stadium.
It's right there along the freeway. I remember driving past it when my wife went out there and I went out there.
It's actually pretty nice for like a small little stadium.
But it's dinky.
Yeah, it's very small. They are building a new Aloha Stadium, though. That is going to be pretty dope.
You need to have a stadium there. Like, not just for the university, but, like, for, like, any kind of event. Because that is where, that's where everything happens. It's outdoors.
Boy, the Pro Bowl was really cool. The Pro Bowl in Hawaii was, it was cool to be there. And I know that they didn't like flying all that far and yada, yada, yada. But you know what? I think they'd rather go to Hawaii. Well, Vegas.
Yeah.
When they did it in Jacksonville, it was like, what are we doing?
Well, I mean, Hawaii in February, great place to be.
Great place
great
to be.
Great place to be.
Great place to be. But yeah, here's their new temp stadium. I mean, that's not bad for a temporary stadium.
What they
it's
had
got a track
when,
around it.
What they had when I was there in 2021, 22.
Sure.
It did not look good.
No.
You could see it from the freeway and
very,
you were like,
very rinky dink. But the new Aloha Stadium is going to be pretty awesome. It's not going to be as big, which is okay. But I used to, I had teammates in college that they would play like the state championships in the Aloha Stadium. And that place would be packed.
Yeah.
They put like 60,000 in that place for like the Hawaii State Championship games. This is pretty sweet.
It's a cool thing about being like, if you've never been to Hawaii, you don't really understand how small that island, the big island even is.
Yeah.
It's very small. It does not take very long to drive around.
So we had on the new podcast that I'm doing with Cole Linehan, former Duck, it's called The Program. Go download it wherever you get your podcast from.
Indeed.
Odyssey Sports podcast. We had Max Unger on.
Where's he from?
He's from Hawaii.
Oh.
And he went to Hawaii Preparatory. And that's one of the things that we talked about is what football in Hawaii is like. Because think of like the road trips that we have here where it's like, oh man, I got to go like, you know, if you play up here, you say you go to, you know, Beaverton.
Mm-hmm.
You may have a 2-hour bus ride down to Sheldon or a 4-hour bus ride down to like North Medford.
I think the longest drive we had was Sheldon or Bend.
Yeah. They have to get on like airplanes and boats for the playoffs. It's like, yep, well,
now go to another island.
You're going to another island.
Like, wait, what?
Yeah. So when you go from like the big island to Oahu, you're taking an airplane for your high school playoff game, which is pretty awesome.
Kind of dope.
Yeah. And he said that they get it all like sponsored. So like all the businesses, like, you know, Hawaiian Airlines will pay for like a flight to go from like the Big Island over to Oahu or Maui to Oahu. And that is really cool. And so like the whole community is just like, yep, we're going. And you go over to Oahu and go watch state championship
games. You
come
together.
It's pretty dope.
Yeah, no.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too. That's very cool.
I think the OSAA has a really tough job here because we have so many classifications and it's really hard. But having like a central location, I always think it's awesome. Like when you have up in the Tacoma Dome, which I don't think they do it there anymore, up in Washington, where you'd have like a full day of football, right? Like down in Texas, they're in Cowboys Stadium and they go from like 8-man football all the way up to, they have like 4 classifications on Friday. And then on Saturday, they have 4 more classifications and it's just all day football. That is awesome.
I mean, we did that when we were younger. When I was at Civic Stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was sweet.
That was.
And they do some at Hillsborough Stadium. Like they'll try to cram like 3 into Hillsborough Stadium. They'll do like 4, 5, and 6A and have a triple header there. But I think it'd be awesome. Put them all in like one location. Like if all of them were at Reser one year and then Autzen Stadium the next year,
that'd be pretty rad.
If God, Providence Park would allow football to happen again. Like that.
Which makes no sense because it's turf anyways.
I know.
It's not like you're worried. Like, look, if this was like pristine grass, I could get the argument.
Absolutely.
Because the football is going to come in there and chew up a couple $100,000 worth of grass.
Yep.
Like that's, I think it's what it cost, what it was when we dove into this, like $330,000 to get that like resodded every single time.
Yeah.
And if you ran 6 high school football games in there on a Saturday, that grass is cooked.
It's done. It's done. I mean, you have in Pittsburgh, they got football every weekend at that grass stadium because
Pitt plays there.
Pitt plays there. Steelers play there. And then
they probably like it, though.
They love it.
They love that it gets a little gnarly.
It's Pittsburgh. Yeah. Pittsburgh football, baby. Pittsburgh football. But I want that back. And I think that it'd be really cool if we could do that in Portland. You know, Portland State getting their own stadium would be sweet, too. I've always lobbied for the Vikings to have a stadium.
In Hillsboro?
Yeah. Yeah, and look, the Vikings do, they do a really good job with the hand that they're dealt right now in that trying to make it as fan-friendly as they possibly can. Hell, we had a couple years ago, Barney was buying beers for fans, you know, at, in the beer garden. They do a really good job doing that. And, yeah, like this Texas Beavs played at Providence Park 2 years ago when they played Montana State.
And they packed it out.
Packed the house. I want more football there. I want more football there. I think it'd
I mean, they're doing
great
concerts there, so maybe they'll lighten up on the football, too.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Dang. I really want more football. I'm going to get more football.
I'm super ready for football to be here.
Aren't you?
Yeah, I'm.
NCAA changed your life.
It did. It, like,
it changed your life.
It legitimately brought
Video
me back.
Games.
It brought me back to the fold.
Yeah.
To the flock. it's so interesting, like, because I'm a giant nerd, I will just go pull up rosters and just like scroll through them and go, okay, they look like, because it's not exact. We all know that, but it's like, it has a, you have a general assumption of like, okay, like Nate Burleson, the second, mm-hmm. playing in the Mountain West. I was like, wait, what? Chris Johnson Jr.
Wait, Nate Burleson has a kid that's in college?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Chris Johnson Jr. He's like another running back who runs like a 4.38 in college.
I did know that.
Like, but I mean, you start like digging into stuff. You're like, oh, holy crap, that sounds familiar. And you just start digging into all these rosters and like all these random players.
I would not have thought Nate Burleson has a kid old enough to play in college football.
Yes, he's actually a pretty decent receiver.
Huh. Well, I'll be damned.
Somebody had a list.
He's 43 years old and has a college kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you
getting
have,
after
you
it young.
Pop one out when you're 20, 21. It's pretty easy.
Yeah. How old is his kid, though?
Probably 19.
You think he's a redshirt freshman. So, yeah, he's probably like 19 years old. Actually, that's not... Oh, God, that not makes really, me feel really old.
Yeah, it's not really that crazy.
Yeah, he was... I mean, it wasn't like he was in like a freshman in college pumping out his kids.
In the NFL. I was 23.
Yeah. Well, I'll be
24
damned.
Years old. You know?
Wow.
Huh. Not that crazy.
That's cool.
Yeah, but
learn something new every day.
No, but you just dive in. Number one, holy crap. Do you know how many kids of NFL stars are in college football right now?
It's nuts, dude. It's, like, we talked about this in the draft, how many sons of NFL players were in it, like Frank Gore Jr., but Marvin Harrison Jr. But it's crazy now. I mean, genetics matter. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Do genetics matter?
But like, This was from March of this year.
Okay.
It is an insane list right now. I mean, you've got Antonio Gates Jr., you've got Shedeur Sanders, EJ Smith, who's Emmitt Smith's son, Christian Driver's, Donald Driver's son. You've got Mason Taylor. I did not know that's Jason Taylor's kid.
Yeah. I did know that. Joy Taylor talked about
him. I just did not. Mm-hmm. The genetics in that family. Good Lord.
I mean, that family is blessed by God.
Christian Harrison.
Yeah.
Eden James, who is Edrin James' son. Cole Pennington. Have you seen him? He looks like Chad, his doppel. He's the quarterback at Marshall.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, sweet
Boy,
God.
It is. He is a dead ringer for Chad Pennington.
If you throw that back 20 years, you would not know that that's not Chad.
Hot damn.
I was blown away. I thought it was like an enhanced photo of Chad.
Low key, great quarterback school.
Marshall. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sneaky. Speaking of quarterbacks, Owen McCown.
Oh, that makes sense. Luke McCown's?
Cade?
Mm,
no.
No.
Luke? Probably.
No, that's McNown.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I always get those two mixed up.
Pride
of Wesleyan. Luke or Josh?
Yeah.
He's at UTSA.
Okay. Got Roadrunners.
Carson Bruner?
Yep. Yep, up at UW, at the UW. Only guy to stay.
Joey Hobert.
Mark Bruner's kid. Oh, really?
Texas State.
Ew, that's a bad football program.
Drew Donnelly at Texas State.
Also a bad football program, good genetics, though.
But, I mean, you start just kind of going through, and you're just like, oh, dear God.
Yeah, that's crazy. But also very believable. But very few of them are playing at, like, Power Four schools.
Oh, Hasselbeck's kid is at UCLA.
Oh, I had no idea about that.
What is it? Henry? Yeah, Henry Hasselbeck.
Double H.
It's just... Dre Kirkpatrick Jr.
Oh.
At Alabama.
Hmm. Like, already?
That's
pretty good. Yeah, he seems like he was on the team.
Not that long ago. Uh-huh.
Wow. All right.
But yeah, I mean, you could play the just dudes naming dudes segment of...
Yeah, we just did it.
At former NFL players whose kids are in college, and I'm missing probably 20.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately. So I was going back and forth with somebody over this a couple nights ago, and I just went, huh? Like, again, Chris Johnson, Nate Burleson, like, you just start going down the list, and you're just like, oh my God, they're all over the place.
I love the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com. Texas State on the upswing. We got some Bobcats, folks.
Hi,
huh? San Marcos, let's go. Let's go. Texas State on the upswing. Well, I mean, UTSA was on the upswing. I mean, they've kind of cooled off a little bit.
I mean,
they were really good. Will Stein calling plays. Larry Coker was like their first head coach that they had. That's a brand new program.
Isn't that where Cowan came from? Wasn't that where he transferred from?
Yeah. Jacob Cowan.
He had a couple guys at UTSA.
Which Jacob Cowan, who the former University of Arizona receiver, I actually saw a headline, Jacob Cowan shining at 49ers training camp. That's a sneaky good fit for him. That is actually a fantastic fit for him.
Where?
San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
He's with the 49ers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's at 49ers training camp.
That makes sense.
I mean, small, shifty wide receiver. He's a zig to their power offense, zag. Unbelievable hands, great route runner. A fragile little feller, though. He's listed at 5'8". I would say... that is generous 5'8 that they gave him.
Yeah.
He's a small dude. But if you can't touch him, can't tackle him, that's what he goes by.
Helpful.
Very pretty good. All right, let's get to sports. Even though we did kind of sports kind of hard.
Sports there a little bit.
We did sports. I promise we will not sports at some point.
Mm.
But they finally did it, folks. They finally did it. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, it's finally happened.
What?
After 7+ seasons at the helm, the Seattle Mariners are parting ways with skipper Scott Servais, according to Ken Rosenthal.
Would you say his service is no longer required?
That's my job.
Hey. I see what you did there. Would it shock you if I told you that Scott Servais has the second most wins in Mariners history?
Not at all.
He has the second highest win percentage of any manager in Mariners history.
It's just Lou, right?
Lou Piniella. Yeah. Lou Piniella has less than 400 more wins than Scott Servais, and he has a slightly higher win percentage than Scott Servais. Lou Piniella, 542 win percentage. Scott Servais,
which in baseball is good.
516.
Yeah.
But...
hey,
this has always been the problem with the Mariners.
54%.
It didn't get there, yeah.
Lou did.
They're just chasing Lou Piniella right there, trying to get to Lou Piniella's 54%. And this year was a meltdown of epic proportions by the Mariners, even for Mariner standards. They've dropped 15 games to the Houston Astros.
10-game lead lost in 24 games.
Yeah, 10-game lead evaporated that quickly, but then they've lost five more in just 53 games, a 15-game swing. That is
That's
unreal.
Heinous.
to think about how quickly this went away. June 18th, we're just over 2 months ago, they had a 10-game lead in the AL West. And look,
even in that dumpster fire of a division, you would think it'd be damn near insurmountable without devastating injuries.
They were 44 and 31 at that point. They are 64 and 64.
Goodness.
500. But now the Astros have gone 35 and 18 since June 18th.
Which is really good, but also
that is good. But the Mariners have been 20 and 33.
Yeah, that's the part that's like you can control some of that on your own. And my God, their pitching has been spectacular, but they just cannot scratch a run across to save their lives.
Yeah, how about this? I saw this from OptiStats today.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle's Logan Gilbert has a record of 7-9 this season.
That dude should have 17 wins.
0.88 whip. So if you don't know what whip is, it's walks plus hits, innings pitched.
Yeah.
Right?
So he has a less than one.
Yeah, walks or hits
ratio per inning.
Okay. The last qualifying MLB pitcher to have a losing record in a season with a sub 0.9 whip.
Pedro.
Was Ed Walsh in 1910 for the Chicago White Sox.
I was going to guess maybe Felix.
No, I meant to say Felix, not Pedro. For the love of God, thank you.
No.
Yeah, I was going to go Felix.
No, it's even worse than that.
Good God.
It's 1910.
It's full-on tungsten arm O'Doyle.
But this is the thing with Felix is that like when Felix pitched, they'd win. And they'd just lose everything else, right? And that's awful. Then Logan Gilbert, their pitching staff is dynamite. But here's where I kind of, I'm just at a loss with the Mariners is that, you know, you want to say maybe it's something with T-Mobile Park, right? Maybe it is something with the ball just doesn't go out of the park there. We always heard about the deep fences, brought in the fences a little bit. There's just something about T-Mobile where they don't score runs. But it's not like they score runs anywhere else either.
No.
You know, like it's they have a minus 14 run differential everywhere else in baseball.
It's actually kind of impressive how much they suck on offense.
It's really bad. It's
like the White Sox are like, geez.
And this was the year where you're sitting there and you're going, they've tried everything, right? Fire the hitting coach.
Mm-hmm.
New hitting coach comes in, they get a little bit of a bump there. Then it's like,
have they tried firing the general manager that built the team?
Get away from Ty France. He's hitting terribly. Mm-hmm. He was hitting terribly. Yeah. They got rid of him. That didn't seem to help. Well, like he was bad juju around that.
You need to get rid of the bad hitter and replace him with a good one.
Yeah.
That's the other part of this that they're forgetting.
Well, and they did. I mean, they tried at the deadline. You know? Like, they went out and they made a couple of deadline moves, but it wasn't anything that made them exponentially better hitting the baseball. I mean, maybe now we see less of Mitch Garver in the lineup, just kind of trying to square peg round hole Mitch Garver, which if you don't know, Mitch Garver is batting 165 this season with 12 home runs.
Is that good?
38 RBI as your designated hitter. Let's see here. He hasn't played since the 17th. I'm looking down here. He is one in his last five games. He is one for 3, 6, 9, 10. He's one for 11 in his last five outings at the plate. That is the issue. They can identify pitchers. They can develop pitchers. They cannot put bat on ball. Very important in baseball. Not really the manager's issue, though. It's not wholly his issue.
No.
They brought in Dan Wilson, though. Mm-hmm. He's been promoted to skipper. He has never managed, nor has he coached a baseball game.
There you go.
He is
all vibes.
He has been part of the organization, though, as a special assignment coordinator. Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, similar to, you know, teams have this all the time where, you know, guy is coming back from injury or guy is struggling. You put him on special assignment. Dan Wilson's been coordinating that. It's not like he's been away from the team. If you watch the broadcast, he's been in broadcasts as well from time to time, and he kind of dips in and out. But he has been around. You're not just bringing in a stranger who's like we're going to bring back a former player because he was there for the glory days. No. And he was.
Yeah, he was there then.
He was. Dan Wilson, absolutely catcher for the best seasons in Mariners history. But you're just saying we need new blood. We're not going to promote a bench coach. Obviously, that's not working for us right now.
Also,
but a guy that people are familiar with.
He's somebody who can also just be dismissed.
He really can be. Like, and be okay with that at the end of the year and be like, yeah, well, I'll just go back to being my special assignment coordinator.
Totally fine.
And I'll be okay here. But Scott Servais out as manager of the Seattle Mariners. He finishes his career with a record of 616 and 578.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. And he, look, Scott Servais snapped the postseason drought. It was the longest postseason drought in North American sports history. Or no, North American sports, not history.
Yeah.
In North American sports at the time.
Active, yes.
And last year, they fell just short of getting back there. This year, it looked like they were putting it together. Then you absolutely crumble and you fall apart. This is them's the breaks when you're the manager of a team, and now they have a little bit of expectations. I didn't think that this was going to happen, though.
I mean,
we knew that it was going to happen eventually, and I thought they were going to let him hold on to the end of the year. Ripping the Band-Aid off now, though.
The other part of this is relates to things locally.
Mm-hmm.
The Blazers and the Kraken moving on from Root.
Yeah.
Put the Mariners in a financial just knot.
That'd be a pickle, isn't it?
Yeah, and then they are, and they have to figure that out. Now, they're going to get some help from Major League Baseball, but all of this, you know, noise around, oh, the Mariners are care, they're going to invest, and they've got money, and they're going to be play. No, they're not. They've got quite a bit of money to figure out now.
Yeah.
And
sorry, just a heads up, Baseball Reference has his record as 680 and 642.
Oh, 680, 642?
Yes.
All right, 680 and 642 there.
In just under nine seasons.
Oh,
God, has it been that long?
Yeah.
This is season number nine.
Yeah. Oh, so it has his, yeah, see, I'm sorry, 680, 642 there. He was hired in 2016. That's a long run for a baseball manager, and he had a long runway to get that thing back on track, right, and to break that postseason drought in year six, and then year seven they missed the playoffs, and here we are year eight plus. You're sitting there going, now's the time. Now's the time.
Yeah, let's see if they actually sort out their finances and actually get involved in being a big player in baseball. I just don't buy that they will.
Here's an interesting text from the Vancouver Ford text line. It's got to be a Pacific Northwest thing. Blazers, Mariners, Seahawks have not gotten to the championship since 1992 minus the 2005 Super Bowl. Well, I mean, the Seahawks won one and then went
back
to another one.
Yeah.
But it is a uniquely Mariners and Blazers thing.
Sure.
It's been a really long time since they've played for championships. Well, Mariners,
ever.
Never. Never. Blazers, it's been, like we live in the past here better than anybody else with the Blazers. It's been 32 years.
Yeah, since, and then if you want to throw the 2000 team in there.
Where we got screwed.
Yeah.
Too soon.
But
a quarter of a century ago.
Too soon.
That's
got, too soon. Too quarter soon. Of a century. Screwed.
God, that is 25. Oh, God.
We got hosed that 99, 2000 season. We got hosed. So, Mariners, a little hope for Mariner fans out there. A little teeny tiny shred of hope. Do you think it's a little unfair doing it after the Dodgers series, though?
No,
like we didn't time. like we didn't know that was going to happen to the team with a 600 win percentage, damn near one win away. It's like probably should have seen that one coming, guys. That we weren't going to win that series. Maybe they just wanted to. Did they tarmac him? No, he's still there.
Ooh,
no, they didn't do that. That was a mean joke. All right, but Scott Servais out. Dan Wilson, the old catcher for you got the best player on the team, big dumper. Bring in a catcher as your skipper.
That
now.
Relationship.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't need to get any more hot.
Mm.
Best player they have right now. But Scott Servais done after 7+ seasons in Major League Baseball. Or for the Seattle Mariners. All right. Well, let's get back to football, shall we? That was just like a little news. That was a little bit of...
A little news nugget?
We got a little newsy starting this bad boy off. We've got a lot of football that we got to get to today because We have a coach that has now been suspended in the Big Ten, and he's owning it.
I thought Jim Harbaugh left.
No, I said owning it. Oh. He's owning it.
Yes.
That he has misstepped a little bit, and they did not do the transfer portal right. We've got the Saudi Arabia in college football. There's a link there we need to get to. And some NFL training camp stuff that is just so bad. We can't ignore it. And we'll get to that next, because if you got two, you got none. Playing out pretty firmly in one city. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. As teams across the NFL are shutting down all of their projected starters, one team is zigging when everybody's zagging. And I don't blame them. After losing 9-3 to the Buffalo Bills in week two of the preseason, Russell Wilson said yesterday, "I'm playing." We're all playing in that preseason finale.
Uh-huh.
Russ went 8-for-10, 47 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, was sacked 3 times, while Justin Fields went 11-of-17 for 92 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, sacked once. Two guys that held the ball the longest of any other quarterbacks in the NFL last year, but didn't look so great. Getting rid of the ball in week two of the preseason, and both of them will now be playing in the week three preseason finale. This comes from Doug Clawson, who is a writer for CBS Sports.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the last 13 preseason drives with Russell Wilson or Justin Fields at quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Punt, 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 punt.
Hmm.
Missed field goal, punt, field goal. Downs, downs, downs. They've gotten 3 points in 13 preseason drives with those two guys at quarterback.
Sure, Justin Fields, Russell Wilson are going to save you. Your quarterback has improved. Da, 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 da.
Pittsburgh's in it in a bad way.
They're not good quarterbacks.
And what we are going to see, and I believe this, based on what we saw from both of these guys and what we've seen so far, Russell Wilson's going to be the starter at the beginning of the year. There will be a point where they say, we've got to play Justin Fields.
Yeah, and they'll play Fields because they know what they have in Wilson, and they'll talk themselves into somehow unlocking something in Justin Fields nobody's been able to unlock.
We need the athleticism.
Blah, blah,
we
blah.
We need
blah.
It on Look, out there. But Russ still has his fatal flaws of holding onto the ball for far too long. And
he's not going to turn the ball over 19 times, though.
Look no further than, I mean, everybody was like wowed by Bo Nix playing quarterback for the Denver Broncos. Hell, Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson looked better than Russell Wilson in Sean Payton's offense because it was get the ball out quick, make a quick and decisive throw, and
be on with it.
Play to live another down. The fatal flaw of Russell Wilson is he cannot get rid of the ball quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It 100% is his fatal flaw. He was surrounded by an incredibly efficient run game during his time in Seattle. And a play action over the top passing game, which he still has.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are the flashes that you saw from Pittsburgh last week that made you say, all right, it is going to be Russ, right? He had that one long throw to Pickens, I think on the sideline off play action, where you go, okay, Justin Fields isn't making that throw and Russell can. But how long can you rely on that? You're in the NFC North. It's going to be a black and blue division. It is going to be beat you up. Inside and out, we're going to try to possess the ball, control the clock, and try to wear you down with an elite defense. That is where Russell Wilson is better.
The thing about this is, and I'm hard on Wilson and Fields because I don't believe in either of them at all anymore.
Haven't had a whole lot of reason to.
No. But Tomlin does need to bear some of the burden here, no matter what quarterback it is. And yes, they have had crappy quarterback after crappy quarterback after crappy quarterback outside of Ben Roethlisberger. There's no doubt about that. Their refusal to invest in a quarterback worth a damn is an intrinsic thing within the franchise. It's at the ownership level, it's at the general manager level, it's at the head coaching level. But they are so lockstep and in line of not deviating from what the culture of the city and of the franchise is, which is spend more money on defense than anyone else, spend no money on the offense, to be where you're 9-8.
It's tried and true, though.
Look,
they don't go through the pits of hell like any other NFL franchise.
And those terrible towels, they keep selling, baby. And those jerseys, they keep selling. I can't believe I'm going to say this. The Pittsburgh Steelers might be the mark of mediocrity in the NFL right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
Not 5-7 years ago, but for the last probably 5-7 years, they have been the mark of, okay, they're good. But you knew what. There was nothing on their roster that said, that's going to do it.
Yeah.
Now, you can talk yourself into something stupid, like Justin Fields being the one to be that guy.
And they do have, but the most important position in sports since Ben Roethlisberger left has been a massive void that they've tried to find the Band-Aid, find the reclamation projects, whether it's Mitchell Trubisky, now Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, whether it was drafting Kenny Pickett and keeping Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh, you know, the pride of Pitt. Panthers comes and he gets to stay in his home stadium. They haven't found that guy yet. And I will give the Steelers a ton of credit because that model and that mold that they have defensively, they do draft well.
Incredibly
develop talent very well. They have gone out and gotten guys like Isaac Seumalo from the Philadelphia Eagles to help bolster their offensive line. They draft wide receiver incredibly well. When you
they turned
George
a former
Pickens.
Army guy into a all-pro tackle,
like, yeah, Andrew Villanueva. Yeah,
it's not they like they just have no capacity to do anything with it pertains to wide receiver or quarterback.
Yeah,
running back even they do well with
running back.
They chew through them, but they do well with them.
I mean, wide receiver they've done amazing. George Pickens amazing. Pat Freiermuth at tight end, really good draft pick. Running back, you got Najee Harris. You've been able to draft. It is that position. And I think
James
what they're
Conner before that, like
what
you
they are
guys.
Waiting on and what they're hoping for. Well, Le'Veon Bell, they've done incredible. But you have got a team that is sitting there saying, "We are that one piece away," and it's the most important piece of all of them, and that's that quarterback. And I think what we are seeing is you said that the kind of the measure of mediocrity, that's a tough place to be because you're not going to be able to be in a position to draft that guy who can be that transcendent quarterback for your franchise if you don't take it in the chin for 1 year.
Yeah, and they refuse to, whether it's Tomlin's consistent record of not missing the playoffs. Was it 16 straight years now?
Well, being very well coached.
Yeah.
I mean, like it's like, oh, damn, we're just too well coached. Yeah. We develop talent everywhere else, except for our quarterback.
But I genuinely wonder if like they're just not willing, as a franchise, as a business, to just...
It's not in their DNA to do that. And this
probably
is where
harming them.
You have to find that diamond in the rough. Mm-hmm. And that's the most difficult thing to find. Because
they haven't even found like a viable quarterback.
No.
They haven't even scratched viable. It's been horrid.
And everybody wanted to blame Matt Canada, and plenty of reason too.
Yeah.
But now you bring in Arthur Smith, and you're like, oh.
It turns out you need the talent back there.
You do need that guy back there. It's an interesting place to be in, but Russell Wilson will be playing in the preseason finale this weekend. This might be the year. This might be the year we see that step back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it's not just because of anything that they're doing, because of how well-run of an organization they really are. But I look at the Ravens, the Bengals, the Browns.
That division, good Lord.
The world needs ditch diggers.
Yeah.
And your quarterbacks this year, they may be the ones that turn you into those ditch diggers.
Yeah, I mean, look at that division. Look, Deshaun Watson is a different story, but Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow.
Yep.
I mean, do you... Your quarterbacks aren't even on Deshaun Watson's level.
Yeah. No. And Deshaun Watson...
forgot how to quarterback.
He got broke between the years there.
Yeah.
Quarterback-wise.
Because
and you know what? You hate to see it.
Yeah, I mean, terrible.
Couldn't happen to a better guy.
Terrible human, but when he was with the Texans, it was an incredible quarterback.
You're damn right. Maybe the Texans are like... They just got that quarterback juju going on.
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud seems to be that dude.
Well, they sacrificed David Carr so that other quarterbacks could actually be good there. That's what that was.
Oh, so they just need to say that maybe that's what Pittsburgh's doing. Is they're just like, all right, our sacrifices have got to pay off at some point. We've been sacrificing a lot of guys.
Well, the problem is they haven't sacrificed any good guys.
Yeah.
David Carr was a good guy.
All right. Well,
gotta really pay for it.
Well, maybe that's why they brought Russ in.
I said good guys.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, he projects that very well.
Yeah. True.
All right. We got something, a little bit of local news going on. You broke this little story earlier.
Yeah, a little something.
Earlier today. And I think it needs a little bit of clarification and deserves a little bit of attention. Sure. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
What could be better? Have you ever been to a volcano?
Well, the Portland Trail Blazers are about to do.
There's really good stuff.
Coming up in March, the Portland Trail Blazers will honor the legend Bill Walton.
Big Red himself.
Big Red.
There's going to be, I think, multiple instances this year where they're going to do something. I've seen a lot of people like, why haven't the Blazers had anything to say? It's like, well, they've got to get everything locked in, guys. It's not a matter of not wanting to do something or not recognizing. Like, Bill and the Blazers have long since made up, and the relationship was really good before Bill passed.
Yep.
But they're going to have a remembrance night for him March 9th against the Detroit Pistons.
Why would they wait so long?
Yeah. Well, because Luke Walton, son of Bill Walton, who is named for Maurice Lucas, former Portland Trailblazer, is on the coaching staff with the Detroit Pistons.
Oh.
So he will be in town for that night.
Well, that might be some wishful thinking, though, because we know Detroit, they may just fire their coach by then, too.
Yeah, they've already done that. You know, they figured that part of it out.
Teams never do that.
No. I would be surprised if they did that after just hiring a new coach, but you never know. But, yeah, this is part of the events calendar that the Blazers are rolling out, and this one's going to be, I think, a big deal.
I think that's awesome that they are, and as you said, they will have other ways to memorialize and remember Bill Walton, but March 9th to have Bill Walton night when his son is in town with the Pistons, I think that is, it's fantastic to have that with his son in the arena. That's a nice touch. And look, let's not kid ourselves here. Blazers know that March 9th, when Detroit comes to town, not a lot of people are going to be interested in that game. But you add Bill Walton night to it.
Part of the great suck-off. Like, that part of the schedule, that's part of the great suck-off. Like, that's when the sucking really matters.
That matchup ain't burning anyone's britches there. So what they will do is remember Bill Walton on March 9th. And again, really cool touch. And first place I saw it was you this morning.
There you go.
And the Blazers sent out a little press release.
Indeed.
Celebration.
They've all kinds of nights coming up that they've released out for all of the months. And
October 27th, you have Celebration of Hispanic and Latinx Heritage.
Ooh. They usually bring in some vendors for that, too. Like food.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's like, oh, what do we got up here?
I love that.
I love when they do like the cultural nights and they bring in the food vendors. I'm always very, very into that.
You got Get Out the Vote night November 1st.
Yeah, that won't be a busy night at all.
No. Native American Heritage Celebration will be November 10th. Mm-hmm. Military Appreciation Night November 12th. Oh, hey, right after Veterans Day. I see what they did there. Pride Celebration presented by Jamba. On December 6th.
Jamba presents so much for them now.
They do. Celebration of Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage on January 11th. Black History Celebration presented by Ticketmaster on February 1st against the Suns. And then HBCU to the Pros game on February 22nd against Charlotte.
That's a cool one.
That is a cool one.
Hopefully they do the
Women's History presented by Coke on March 16th.
The marching band again.
Yeah.
They brought in one of the HBCUs.
Those bands are
badass.
Was it
Florida A&M?
Florida A&M, Grambling State.
I think it was A&M that they brought in.
Really good ones. Southern has an awesome one.
150 of them. And I literally sat in the stands pregame, 3 hours before tip-off. Just, it was me and a couple of the Blazers content people just watching them smiling. It was just like, oh, this is going to be fun.
That's
and it
awesome.
Was the reaction from the crowd was very predictable, very white Portland, not used to seeing that much energy. I think, is the first
that much energy.
The first song, they were kind of like, okay, this is cool. And then by the second song, they were into it. But like, they just didn't know what to do with it at first.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, they'll get it. And then I think at the end, they got a standing ovation. So,
well, there we go.
Yeah.
All right. There's your celebration and theme nights for the Blazers for 2024.
Get them on your calendars.
Get them on your calendar. I'm really looking forward to March 9th.
I have a reeling suspicion they're going to do some cool stuff for Bill Walton night.
Okay. All right. Hour number one in the books. Let's head to hour number two. We start the Rocky Mountains head to the desert. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.